time once again for Sports Sidebar, covering sports for Northeast Ohio and sometimes even a little outside that area. Sports Sidebar, where we prove that a little knowledge is dangerous, but even less knowledge makes it a little easier to fill an hour. Now on to our hosts, Captain Bill and Dave. And soggy Tuesday to you all.
I was supposed to have softball practice.
And you forgot your swim fins?
Yeah. Our season starts a week from today.
Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. My grandson's ball game was rained out Monday night. What a topsy-turvy. Sunday was such a beautiful day.
It was.
Out there doing all kinds of stuff. Got the boat. Nuclear isotopes inserted into the nuclear-powered pontoon boat. It's ready to go. I'll be on patrol here any day now.
Any day.
Any day.
Get your papers to serve, do you?
Get papers to serve. Yeah, I have three or four couples to marry. Okay. So I can marry people on my pontoon.
On your ship.
Yes. So, I haven't had very good luck, though, marrying people. 90% of them ended up with divorced. If you want to stay married, don't go to me.
So have you actually done ceremonies on the boat?
Oh, absolutely.
Have you?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
157.
157.
And seven and a half.
One of them. Well, they got out there and they decided not.
She pushed
him in the water
married.
And that was
seven
it. Seven are still married. Okay.
It's been a dismal record.
That's not a good record.
No, not a good record. No. But anyway, I try. I warn them.
You're doing your best.
As much as
misery loves company, you know.
So anyway, mowed the grass because I knew Monday and Tuesday.
At least.
Wednesday.
Yes. Maybe Thursday.
I'm hoping to play golf Wednesday, but it doesn't tomorrow.
It's not looking good. Yeah. Look good, yeah.
Maybe I can get out Thursday, but Mayflowers. No, it's no. May rain.
May rain. Hopefully we'll bring in June flowers,
yeah,
right?
June flowers, anyway. Yeah. Got my plants, though, for...
For the bunnies?
For the vet. Yeah, I'll show them. I'm going 100% container.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I'm going to put it closer to the house. Damn bunnies. They cost me a lot of money. You know, gardening.
Uh-huh.
Gardening is not a cheap undertaking or hobby. You got soil that you have to put the containers themselves. But those fresh vegetables.
Tomatoes
and peppers. They're well worth it.
The bunnies don't get.
The ones that the bunnies don't touch the tomatoes. The squirrels do.
Oh, the squirrels get your tomatoes.
Oh, those things.
Well, those guys are hard to stop.
Oh,
though.
You can't stop them. You can put a net over it and hope for the best, but they can get underneath it. They're smart.
They are.
I have. There's one I called white ears.
White ears.
Yeah,
okay.
A squirrel with white ears, and I swear if there was educational degrees for squirrels, this one would be a PhD. He goes out there and he looks at things and he figures it out. It's just, but I couldn't hurt.
He's an engineer squirrel.
Yeah, he's or she. It could be a she. I don't know. Yeah. I haven't
could
gotten,
be.
Gotten that close.
We don't want to leave out the fairer sex.
Yes. Anyway, so I'm psyched, but this next week is kind of. Or this week.
This week.
Wet.
Yep.
It was wet for the draft, too.
It was. And, you know, I almost called Dennis, the guy. I noticed he posted a lot of things. He and his wife went up to some of the draft activities and such. I almost gave him a call to see if he would come on the show, but I didn't have his phone number. I could have called Mike Mace and probably gotten it that way, but I didn't feel like getting fussed at my Mike Mace for not having his number already. So, yeah. but it was wet. It was outside. It was wet. But they seemed to have a good time and different activities and such. And it's so great the draft is over and I don't have to read every day about a different guy that the Browns might draft.
That's true. It's over.
Yep.
It's over. But the weather stunk on Thursday. But from all the things I've heard, there's just been accolades, I tell you, of the Browns or the Cleveland, City of Cleveland, putting this on. So,
well, not only that, the accolades of the Cleveland draft itself.
Oh, yes.
I've got three different sources here, Yahoo Sports, Sporting News, and Pro Football Focus. And the sport, it was printed out really small for the Sporting News. It did have Cleveland Browns as the second best draft in the entire draft. Mm-hmm. And behind the Bears. In under Pro Football Focus, they gave grades. They didn't give places, but they gave grades. And Browns got an A+. The Ravens got a B+. The Bengals got a B, and Pittsburgh got a C, according to Pro Football Focus.
Good for her.
And in the Sporting News.
Sporting News, yes.
The Browns got an A, and they were picked as having the third best draft. They had the Ravens had an A-, which was 12th. And there were a lot of C's and C-, too. I was thinking, well, they didn't rank anything. That's why I didn't even bother looking at the NFL rankings. They're not B-, like the lowest thing they'd probably give. Anyway, the Bengals ended up with a B+. They were in 14th. The Ravens were an A-. They were 12th. And Pittsburgh was a B+, ranked the 20th best draft out of 32 teams.
Yeah. And
you'll get to read about it as everybody tunes in tomorrow, Wednesday, for the Terry Pluta columns. There is an article that Terry kind of is smiling about the draft.
I look forward to hearing it.
No, you better be looking forward to reading it.
Oh, that's right. I do that, don't I? I
forget. Giving you a plug here.
I need a plug. I need a plug.
AC or DC?
220. Is it 220?
220?
I need a 220.
Okay.
One of those funky looking ones. What kind of a plug? Well, I look forward to reading that and recording it and see what Terry has to say about it. He does have some very interesting articles. He's a good writer.
He does. He's a very good writer. He always has some facts to back up things he talks about.
Well, I would hope so.
Well, a lot of sports guys don't.
Well, the ones that, like the mock draft people.
Mock.
Steve Allen. The Steve Allenders. they can say anything. I don't know. I mean, I don't follow college football enough to say, well, I guess that sounds correct.
You know what's funny is out of the Yahoo one where they drafted, where they picked them, the Browns ended up second, they used 18 evaluators to get the grade point average, which was Chad Router, Ryan Fowler, Ben Rolfe, Vinny Eiler, Danny Kelly, Doug Farr, and Mark Schofield is one. Pro Football Focus, Nat Davis, Mel Kiper Jr., Ryan Dunleavy, Connor Orr, Matt Orr Lombardo, Matt Mask, Luke Easterling, and Thor Nordstrom. And everybody gave Browns an A except for Mel Kiper.
What's wrong?
He gave him a B. But everyone else, he was the only one who gave him below an A. Everyone else gave him, and we're talking about some of these guys are from Draft Wires, ESPN, Touchdown Wire. These are all different publications that these guys go, and they all gave rounds. That's how they end up being the second best draft on the Yahoo Sports.
Well, I agree that they did an excellent job, and the Browns fans of Northeast Ohio should be extremely happy. Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski in the front office, Dee Potessa and all the rest.
Being left unmolested by ownership.
They're finally given free reign. He even, Haslam, said it's going to be up to Andrew Berry to make the decision about picking up further years of the contract for Baker Mayfield. So I guess he's learned his lesson, which has upgraded me from being
King Doofus to just
Regular Doofus. Maybe even a learning Doofus. I think D is no longer a Doofus. So these, I call her D. Haslam now.
But okay.
But Jimmy Doofus is still, he's still a doofus.
He's got a long way to go.
Yeah, he's
between the cheating of truck companies.
Yeah, he's
truck
the Duke of Doofuses. Yes. Anyway, bless you.
Oh, that hurt.
Oh, that's right.
I felt it in the back here.
You're recovering.
That hurt. That hurt. Yes.
Anyway. so, as we were saying, Andrew Barry and Stefanski, the trio di Potesta, did, I think, a very good job. They went into the draft knowing that the biggest defect of this team last year, especially the defensive secondary, was what they had to focus on, and they did an outstanding job. I didn't know anything about Greg Newsom II from Northwestern, but apparently he's the best cornerback, CB.
And they did not have to trade up for him.
They didn't have to trade up for him, which was a big plus. But I think
because they did not expect they almost traded up to get him,
and they
didn't trade up, and they did not expect him to be there. That was their focus, from what I understand.
And then they, I think, pulled off the biggest surprise of the draft in getting somebody. Nate Ehrlich, the beat reporter, had, let me see, where was this? Jeremiah Osuo-Koromoa from Notre Dame. A lot of people now are just calling him J-O-K. I guess that's all right. Some people say you're lazy if you don't pronounce the whole guy's name. But
hey, Joe Tate didn't always pronounce the whole guy's name. So
Jeremiah Osuo-Koromoa, linebacker from Notre Dame, was picked to go in the first round, around 19.
He was what, third round?
He was second round. Second round pick, and which is kind of puzzling. I mean, I guess that's
line, but they don't put the value on linebackers and running backs.
No. And was probably the best linebacker available in the draft, and he went in the second round. Where was it?
We traded up to get that one.
Yeah,
didn't we
traded. We didn't give up. I think we gave up a seventh round pick. We didn't give up.
Second round and the seventh round.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know if that was next year.
Oh, for next year. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I think. Anyway.
That's not much of a.
No.
That's nothing to get a top ranked. Supposed first rounder linebacker.
He waited till 52.
You know, and you've got another one in there, Reggie Langhorne. But you know, with the Terry Plutocoms, you've been getting stories of some of these great Browns, and how they're waiting out the draft.
Yeah.
That kind of a thing.
Well, Phil Dawson, the great kicker of the Cleveland Browns, was a very interesting story. Here was a guy back in what, 97 or so, 98, that was 1998.
Yes.
That was a premier kicker in college, and that he was expected to go, he thought, maybe even as high as the second or third round, which is high for a kicker.
Yes, it is. Yes.
So he sat around and sat around and sat around, no call, and all seven rounds, nobody called him. Then finally he did get a call as a free agent to try out, and long story short, he did end up, with the Browns, and what, 22 years later, he retired.
Yeah.
So the draft doesn't necessarily mean your first or second round pick, as we know with the Browns organization, you're going to rise to that potential.
Absolutely.
And Reggie Langhorne, you said, was another one.
Reggie Langhorne is what you're reading.
Okay, so I'll be reading about him.
And there's also one in there, when these stop coming in, you have one for Brian Brennan, too.
Oh, okay. So, well, I knew he was a long shot when he was, first with the Browns. But I look forward to reading that. But my goodness gracious, I think we ended up with six draft picks, and four were defensive players.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to be excited. I mean, along with the acquisitions of Clowney and some other ones, the defense, which was the weakest part of the team, like I said earlier, is looking toward being one of the better ones.
If it all gels.
If it all gels.
And if it all happens as opposed to, which we all know that every draft is a crapshoot. No matter how good the players are supposed to be, can they adjust to the NFL game? Marla Ridenour thinks so. You saw that her article on Monday.
She thinks we're a Super Bowl contender.
She does think we're a Super Bowl contender.
And I think she's right. But a lot of things have to work. The great equalizer, of course, is injuries. We don't know who could get injured. We saw that in Cincinnati
And another big question, if something happens to Baker Mayfield, he goes out for a while, who goes in for him?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Because
Case Keenum is right now.
Right.
And there's another one, too, another quarterback. And I think they did one of the two draft picks they did get was a quarterback on the sixth round, just to bring in and compete.
Give him a chance to compete for that.
And then they also had an offensive lineman, Schwartz, that they drafted. But primarily they went with they had a wide receiver. The wide receiver, maybe they didn't do a quarterback. I'm sorry, I don't think they did.
Well, I know they did a wide receiver. Yeah.
Wide receiver, the fastest athlete in the combines, he's extremely fast, and I think they're counting on either Labrie or OBJ not being able to keep them after next season. It's just they're going to bump up to salary cap problems.
Yeah,
especially when you're going to be signing.
Well, I'm sure signing, that because more and more people are showing up at games or allowed to go into games, that I think that was the reason for the ceiling being lowered for this year. I'm pretty sure the ceiling will go up again next year.
I would think so.
For one thing, the unbelievable new TV contracts they got.
Yeah, Amazon Prime is not going to be the Thursday night provider.
Unless it's your home team, yeah.
Yeah, starting in 2022. It was originally 2023.
Oh, okay.
And Fox Sports decided not to pick up the option for 2022, so Amazon Prime. So you're going to have Amazon Prime to get the Thursday night game, unless the team is playing at home.
Right. So, I mean, or your home team is playing.
Yeah. So I just think that Andrew Berry, they saw where the team needed to be reinforced.
Well,
and did an excellent job.
And you look at what they did last year. Last year, they obviously concentrated on offense, on protecting Baker Mayfield, on being able to give him time to learn the system, and look what, and he thrived in that.
Yes, he did.
You know, the longer the season went, the better he got with the system. Mm-hmm. You know, because there were no practices, physical practices, there was no preseason. They barely got to get together for the preseason practices, and even when they did, the first one there was no contact, and you know, you don't really learn that way.
No.
And so in the first game we got our butts handed to us, but I knew we would get better, and we did. And now they concentrate on offense last year, they're concentrating on defense this year. Mm-hmm. And now they'll be able to go for whatever their greatest needs are going to be, or whoever they can't hold on to next year. Mm-hmm. So
well,
injuries, of course, always play a part. Right. Will that person be back next year or not, or whatever?
Well, I think Marla Ridenour made a point in one of the articles last about the draft, is that perhaps with the linebacking and changes in the cornerback, that one play by Hemi with the Kansas City Chiefs games in the second playoff game may have not occurred with the adequate defensive backfield. He went 13 yards. It was like third and 14, and then they went and got the first down. So I could have gotten them to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Or at least the NFL championship game, I believe.
Yeah, well, with a defensive line like we have now, I think he would have been harassed a whole lot more than what he was.
Yeah. And, of course, you know, Kansas City and Buffalo and Baltimore – and I wouldn't count out Cincinnati now, depending on on how Burroughs comes back. There are some really good teams in the AFC that they have to compete to get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And then you got Tampa Bay with the grandfather Tom Brady still quarterbacking. So the expectations of the Browns fans this year, we thought they were high a year or two ago.
Oh, yeah.
2 years ago.
2 years ago, they were insane.
Yeah, and they ended up 6-10. They were really high last season and ended up with...
It ended up better than most people believe.
Yeah.
Most everybody believed.
Ended up with, what, 12-6?
Including the playoff game, yeah.
Yeah. So this year, really, with the defensive pickups in the draft and through free agency, you know, it's going to be the expectation of the Browns fans. Well, and I really do wish, wouldn't that be great? What would this town do? I mean, we just had a small sampling of it with the Indians and the Cavs.
Yeah.
But the Browns,
this is a football town. This is a football town.
Well, even with the Cavs, they have, a million people?
A million people.
Show up for the parade.
Yeah.
Wow. They would have 5 million. I think, I mean, that's an exaggeration, but at least I think double. Wouldn't you think? Double because it's a...
I would not be a bit surprised if they're allowed to conjugate like that, yes.
Yes. Well, that's true. That's true.
You know, but again, that'll be...
That's another factor, too, we don't know.
Right.
COVID is still out there.
Right.
And even though we're approaching 40% of the population that has had at least one shot,
yep,
it still means 60% haven't.
Right.
And I think they're going to make it more and more convenient for people who can't get out and have micro places to go, pop-up places, I guess, and be able to... get shots more easily, but we got to get to 75-80%, and it's really, we both have had the shots.
Yes we have,
and of course the shots don't eliminate being stupid like you were with the ladder.
Well, yeah, it didn't make me smarter, but I do really smart. Yeah.
Is that the Pope? He got a hold of me the
other
day.
No, the Pope doesn't have a I Love Lucy ring.
Anyway, so we got to get all our shots, and this is ridiculous.
Right, because we were talking next almost March, you know, when a parade. Would you do a parade in March in Northeast Ohio?
Yes. Football fans? Absolutely.
I could see maybe I could see maybe 5 miles of the cookouts and stuff of the...
It would be tremendous. And it's within the realm of possibility. Now, I think they're going to win the Super Bowl? I hope, but I don't think so.
You're not. Yeah, you're not ready to go there, nor am I. But we fell slightly short of that last year, and it was the
defense. Well, I was way short. I mean, I predicted...
But, I mean, as far as the team went, you know, had the defense been stronger against Kansas City, we probably would have faced the Bills, and Bills did not have a good game.
No.
You know, they're the AFC Championship game.
No. That's right. We would have played the Bills.
We would have played the Bills.
Well, that would have been a great game.
Yeah.
Two Lake Erie cities.
Yeah.
Wow, that would have been wonderful. But... It didn't happen, but
with the defense we have now, it can definitely make a difference.
It can, but let's face it, the Newsom and Mr. Jeremiah Aswa, T.O.K.
T.O.K.
J.O.K. 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 It's a long name. Let's just, in conversation, we can just say J.O.K.
J.O.K. Yeah.
From Notre Dame. Nice young man.
I'm okay, J.O.K.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
But it's Jeremiah Aswo Koramahu. It's a mouthful.
It is.
And
But
well, those two haven't. They've never been on a team, an NFL team before. It's the potential.
But some players adapt so quickly to it, mm-hmm. and usually you consider usually your first 10 players drafted are considered immediate impact players. Mm-hmm. The other ones are considered to be starters at a certain point, but that doesn't mean they'll be necessarily starters, but they could be.
They could be.
You know, it depends on how they're adjusted and how they're ready for the games.
Well, they're going to obviously have to compete with some of the people there now, but they haven't played. I mean, there was some concern just out there in speculation land that, you know, why was J.O.K. taken so late as he was projected to be a first-round pick?
Because linebackers, teams aren't focused on linebackers.
I understand.
And they're not focused on running backs.
But they aren't, but certainly they were concerned about his size.
Yeah.
He's about 6'1", 6'2", about...
Oh, shorty, a midget.
Yeah. That wasn't the case. It was his weight. He's only 218, 220. And there was some concern he wasn't built big enough to handle an NFL. But just give him some Pav's milkshakes and some Dairy Queen.
Some steaks. Some good old
Susie
steaks.
Q's and
steaks.
That's not steaks. Steaks are protein, but the carbs. Maybe a half a dozen apple fritters for breakfast.
Okay.
That'll get you going. Of course, a sugar high would be.
Oof. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, the ones right down the street from here.
Honeymoon or
whatever. That's not honeymoon.
But it's
Jubilee?
Jubilee.
The apple fritters there are unbelievable. They're huge.
Mm-hmm.
It'll cost you about $2.50 a piece, but they're worth every bite. Every bite.
You ask your doctor if they're worth every bite.
Oh, no. No. I guess if I had gone to I just recently had a physical and everything was fine, but if I went to a physical and the doctor says, hey, you got 3 months to live. Jubilee, here I come. And Pav's, which I think has the best custard around. So I'd be going hog wild. Why not? I can't take that chance now. But So the draft is over. I think the Cleveland Browns did excellent. I don't know if there was any surprises from other teams except that maybe, Chicago got Justin Fields. They thought he may have gone earlier. And that's maybe why the Chicago Bears were rated to having a very good draft. I don't know why Justin Fields wasn't picked up. Maybe it's just because the publicity around Trevor Lawrence, who was no surprise. Everybody had him pick number one, Zach Wilson from BYU.
It's usually pretty easy to pick the top five players.
Yeah. So,
because that's all some players talk about, some guys talk about.
Yeah, so I haven't heard of any major surprises, except I think everyone was surprised that this JOK was picked in the second round, waited that long. And I think the Browns were shocked that he was able to, because they really wanted him. They really did want him. And I guess it was a temptation to pick him before Newsom, the second, because he was still available. But they know cornerback was their weakest position.
Right.
And that, and then when it became apparent that they could get this, that's when they traded up and got the draft.
Technically, you have two potential starters out of that draft.
Yes. And I was wrong that the 91st draft was the wide receiver was Anthony Schwartz. And they did have a lineman, too, I think, in the fifth pick. But I'm too lazy to go find this in my articles here. Unless you want me to find it. Just kind of as a backup train, because you can never have too many offensive linemen.
Right.
And cornerbacks, too. In order to stop the pass, you got to have these lightning quick cornerbacks who can stay with a receiver and stop the long passes, and also mm-hmm. be strong enough and fast enough to come in on a run too. So very good draft. I mean, I think Andrew Berry is being the youngest general manager in the history of the National Football League is getting accolades. I said that again. Accolades.
Accolades. You did say that. Yeah.
Yes. From a lot of people who.
And this is his second draft, technically. Second draft, yes. And the first year he concentrated on offense.
And he ended up getting the baby, too.
He ended up getting the baby?
Yeah, his wife had delivered, oh, his right, wife delivered, the baby. Delivered a baby, I think, the day of the draft or the very morning. Just in time.
Just in time, yeah, for
so
that.
So good. Congratulations for him. So it was a good few days for him.
Yeah.
And.
He won't get sleep for a while, but yeah.
Yeah, between this job, which has got to be all consuming, and three children. Of course, he's going to spend a lot of time in the office, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
I'm sorry, honey. I can't, you know, I can't get up. I got, you know, I don't know. I'm sure he's going to do the best he possibly can. He just seems like a very nice young man. And they seem to have the chemistry now, don't they? I mean, between Stefanski and Di Potesta
Andrew
Berry, it's just.
I know our defensive coach is very excited.
Oh, Joe Lewis, yeah.
He's very excited about what the Browns have picked up for
him. The expectations, though, you have to have success. And,
right.
And there's a lot of teams that are going to be.
Yeah, I had I had a hard time understanding why he came from San Francisco when they had been so successful on defense. Mm-hmm. Why he came to the Browns, in the same position.
Yeah, maybe he saw
if he could help move this team defensively as well, that would make him more in line to be considered for a head coaching job. I don't know. But I didn't understand that move because it was a lateral move. When he was already a successful person there.
Well, he could have been offered a lot more money, too. You know, it happens, David. If you somebody offering me a lot more money, I'm out of here.
It does?
I just want to let you know that.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be much more.
So two fritters and you're gone, huh?
Yes. Well, we played the Cardinals, the Ravens, the Bengals, the Steelers, the Bears, the Broncos, Lions, Texans, and Raiders. So just... kind of for fun, I think that we could probably beat the Cardinals. We'd probably split with the Ravens. The Bengals, they're not going to be pushovers, but I think we could take two. The Steelers, I'll go with a split there.
And that's tough because Steelers may be the weakest team in our division, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But
as long as Ben's there, I can't say they're going to take two from him. I guess maybe old habits die hard. But okay, for the heck of it, two from Steelers.
Okay,
and the Bears. We should be able to beat the Bears. We should.
I don't really remember how Bears did last year, but they came out with a better draft.
They made the playoffs, I believe, but didn't go far. The Broncos aren't very good. I think we should beat them. The Lions, talk about a franchise that has been worse in the long run than the Browns.
In the long run, maybe.
In the long run. It's been the Lions. Not since 1999, but in the long run.
Yeah. In the longer run.
Yeah. Then you got the Texans. I think we could beat them. And the Raiders. Now, they beat us, but I think we could.
We could have won that game, but they had... I think they had a decent draft as well. So,
We're not playing Tennessee this coming season. That's
what?
No.
What? That's the first time since this ownership we have not played Tennessee.
Yeah, it seems like it. the Packers, now that could be a tough stuff. Of course, they're having Aaron Rodgers and the front office are having a battle, aren't they?
I think he's ready to go somewhere else, it seems.
He did a nice job on Jeopardy. I don't know if you have a chance.
I did not see that.
Yeah, he did a nice job. Nobody can beat Alec Trebek. I mean, the guy was just a treasure to watch and listen to. I mean,
Do you remember who the guy that had Jeopardy before Alex?
Fleming. Art Fleming Art from Fleming. Akron, Ohio.
Art Fleming, yes.
Yes. Now, I heard about it. I was too young.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I mean, I read the history of Jeopardy.
I think he also did the Concentration. Art Fleming did Concentration
as
well.
He may have. Yeah, he may have. And he was good.
Yes.
And he was good. But Alex Trebek, well, he was there, what, 30-some years? Canadian.
Some people just have no ambition.
Oh, come on. You know how much those guys make?
For working 2 days a week, generally.
Is that right?
I think in 2 days they do a whole week's worth of show.
Yeah, you're told to bring in your award if you're going to compete. I wouldn't have to bring anything.
You're going
to
be eliminated. Yeah.
If you want to feel really dumb, watch that. I'm pretty good at some stuff, but when you get into English, Victorian English literature.
Then you got to ask a question.
Yeah,
you
got. Well, it's I don't have one guy who was Ken Jennings.
Ken Jennings, yeah.
He was like for a year.
Yes. Just about.
He has to be a genius.
He's very quick. Very quick on the buzzer. And very quick with the answers as well. So, yeah.
So
And he hosted it for a while. Did you see him do it?
He did a good job. Dr. Oz did a good job. I guess some people didn't like it. I don't know anything about Dr. Oz. I really don't. But some people were upset that he had the opportunity.
Well, I mean, he sells his soul for a commercial endorsement. So, you know, that's why some people just don't like him, period.
Yeah.
You know?
Katie Couric did a nice job.
Did she?
Okay. She really did a nice job. And for one period of time, they had the executive director, producer of the show, because of COVID concerns. He did the show, and he did. I don't know what his name is, but he did a very good job. And Aaron Rodgers.
Has anybody done it that got to that point where they were hosting it? You've seen the different people. Have they all done all right?
They've all done really well.
Okay.
And I think Aaron Rodgers.
I can't see Aaron Rodgers giving up football.
No, he's not going to give up football. And clearly, he's not within the realm of being a broadcaster. I mean, he was good. I mean, I'm talking about somebody, an amateur, a TV personality. I thought he did a very, very good job. But you know who? I Anderson Cooper just finished up.
Okay.
And he did a really, really good job.
Look out,
CNN.
He's
a smart guy. He's a smart guy.
He is a smart guy, yes.
Well, and not only that, he's on 60 Minutes. I don't know how he found the time to do this.
Again, it only takes
two days,
you know.
But wasn't that Pat Sajak and Vanna White? I don't know how much money they make, like a $20 million a year, $15 million a year. She gets like $9 million a year for turning letters.
Wow.
Vanna White.
Wow.
And been doing it for, I mean, that show has been around a long time. But I know Drew.
Forget who the first host of that was, because it didn't make it the first time.
Oh,
Chuck Woolery? Was it someone like that?
Chuck Berry?
No, Chuck Woolery.
Chuck Woolery. For?
He did the Love Connection. He did a lot of different shows.
Oh,
he did a lot of game shows.
I don't know. Drew, the guy from Cleveland.
Drew Carey.
Is it Drew Carey?
Yeah, but he does the Price is Right.
The Price is Right. Now, here's a guy who had a very good TV career going, and they make a lot of money.
And he has a ton of free time. I guess he loves English soccer. He spends a lot of time flying over there just to watch English soccer.
Well, if
English
you're making
soccer.
15 to 16 million a year for couple of days,
you
can
afford
that,
a few flights, yeah.
And some of these other guys, I mean, Family Feud. I forgot who does that.
Oh, Steve Harvey does
it
now.
Steve Harvey. He's good. He's funny.
He's funny.
But I do not want...
He is funny.
I'm limited on what I watch on TV, but Jeopardy just stimulates the old brain.
The noggin, huh?
The old noggin. And Alex Trebek was just... I think he was...
Being Canadian, he was so polite at telling people they were wrong.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, where Art Fleming would say, no.
No. And they all were. They're all nice too. But Anderson Cooper would say, "Oh, I'm sorry. No."
And he probably was really sorry.
Yeah,
oh man, I'm so sorry. But no, it's wrong.
But that's There's some questions I get that the panelists don't. I'm proud of that. Certainly in my.
How do you do on that final Jeopardy there?
Depends on what the category is. If it's Broadway plays, historic Broadway plays, or forget it. I mean, once in a while, I'll just muscle memory will tell me that this could be right, but I don't.
I mean, once the final Jeopardy, and my wife was watching, she knew I knew the answer. She yelled upstairs, "What was Sherlock Holmes' brother's name?"
See, I wouldn't know that.
Mycroft. Yeah, which I did know. Uh-huh. So I yelled on Mycroft, and then when it came out, you were right. He says, yeah, Sherlock Holmes fan, yeah.
Yeah, it's just what you're interested in. If you're interested in, like I am, history and government and geography and that kind of stuff. But you get into some of these categories. A potpourri, you never know, too. But it's fun. It's fun to watch. If you record it, you can watch it in 12 minutes.
Commercials.
You just take out the commercials, go right to, and don't listen to the interviews and everything about, you know, here's Shirley from Poughkeepsie. I don't, you know, that's fine. But I just go right to the game.
You don't care.
They had one guy who last week, his name was Kelly, and he was tucking his tie in, and some people thought he was making a white supremacist movement. A signal with his hand, which is like an okay with three fingers or something. Like, I don't know. And it was all over. He said, I don't know anything about that. And it was all over the internet, too, about,
always got to make something out of something when nothing's there.
His poor guy was slammed. And he said, I really did not know. All I was doing is tucking my tie in. And so I saw it. I wouldn't have picked it up. So back to Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers are they're in conflict, and whether he'll be back next year is, and we play him. So getting back to that, that could be a tough game. The Chiefs are going to be tough. The Chargers are going to be tough. The Vikings are going to be tough, and who knows what New England. So we don't have a cakewalk of a schedule, but we certainly could be capable of winning 11 or 12 games out of 17.
At 17, yeah.
Yeah. And I don't like the 17th game. I mean, it's more money for the owners, but the physical damage of this game is a violent game. And adding another chance of getting hurt. And if by the 17th week you're in it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're going to maybe have 2 weeks of games where they're not going to have starters, depending on what your situation is.
Where you're at.
So,
yeah.
Anyway,
that's very possible. So some teams can almost do that now. Do that, you know? You add an extra game in there. I think you may find that your top teams may do that a lot more than what you think.
Oh, sure. It's like basketball too. You know, basketball. I guess the season's ending here soon.
Yes.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, especially if you follow the Cavs. There's more talk about Kevin Love than there is about the Cavs anymore.
Kevin Love did something in a game last week out of frustration.
Out of frustration.
And I guess it cost him the game, but he's stuck, Kevin Love, with the Cavaliers. You're not going to trade him. Who's going to take his $30 million?
I think that that's another point you'll be talking about with Terry Pluto on tomorrow, mm-hmm. about what to do with Kevin Love.
Well, then I don't have to read it.
You will.
Because
he's got answers.
Oh.
We have questions. He's got answers. There's like three things you could do.
You know, he probably knows.
There's three things you could do. You know, you can either trade him, if you can find somebody to trade him for, or you could drop him.
Yeah.
And then he picks up, you know, you pay so much, and then he picks up when he goes somewhere else and gets paid a league minimum.
Yeah.
I forget what the third option was, but there's like three options for him.
I just let him
play, I guess, is the third option.
Yeah.
You know?
He doesn't play that much anyway. They
talked about Drummond. That's what they did with him, and they just ended up dropping him.
Where did he end up in? I don't know where Drummond ended up at.
He signed somewhere for a league minimum contract, but he got paid tons of money by the Browns to go away.
$336,000 a game.
Yeah.
A game! And they just, oh, well.
And they traded for that contract. They knew what they were getting when they got it.
I, I, that kind of money just is mind-blowing to me, that they can just blow $28.5 million a year on a player they use for like 16 games.
And there's no reason they couldn't have played him because they never were able to trade him.
No.
So why weren't they playing him?
I think we
had the discussion several times.
Yeah.
During the season. Nobody's going to buy his contract. Why aren't we playing him? It makes a difference when we're there, when he's there.
You look at his one contract for Andre Drummond, who didn't play, is like 80% of the Indians' payroll.
Yes.
That's how the comparisons are mind-boggling. It's just absolutely mind-boggling that kind of waste is
happening. They paid him to sit on his butt. And then they paid him to go away when they couldn't trade him.
And there really was no
And we both knew that what he's going to buy that contract is, because all they had to do was wait out that the Cavs would either play him or just let him walk. And they let him walk. They paid him a bunch of money to walk away, and teams could pick him up for a league minimum. Why would you trade for a guy, even if you needed him, if you knew you had a good shot to get him?
It's not like he was a worthless player.
No.
That's what I don't
understand. He was productive.
He was productive.
And he was a veteran in this very young team, and they all came to him with questions. They respected him. They liked him. It just made – In no way, shape, or form did this make any kind of sense to me. And we talked about this several times throughout the campaign, because they stopped playing him in December.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, where's the direction of the Cavs? Where are they going? I mean, I know they have a bunch of young players, and that TJ Bickerstaff is, but like right now they're down 7 players from injuries.
What can you do with that? Nothing, you know?
Yeah, you got Kevin Love.
He's always injured. Except for now.
Yeah, and then probably another lot.
I guess he had his best game, just about his best game as a Cav on Sunday. Yeah, and it didn't matter because we still lost.
We still lost.
He must feel like he's back on the Timberwolves again.
Well,
where he's the best player on a lousy team.
Well, he did have an opportunity in 2016 to be on a winning team, the national championship team, but hasn't. The Cavaliers without LeBron James are awful. They're just, let's face it, they're awful. They're awful, and the only other time they were halfway decent, it was back in the
come on, Bronny.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know where he is right now, but as far as development, but and there's certainly no guarantee we ever have that kind of luck again. You have to go back to Larry Nance Sr. and that team, Mark Price, that didn't go. They went into the playoffs, made it first or two rounds, and everybody, the miracle
of Richfield,
part two, and they had a one earlier, but we really have not had very many winning seasons. Maybe half, not even 10, I don't think. And only time
we... And we're still lucky to even have the Cavs after what Ted Stepien did to this team.
That's right. I mean, it's just...
Completely decimated it.
And I don't know what Dan Gilbert's thinking. Maybe he's just, because of the stroke that he had, is just simply not... I'm serious about this. He's not paying attention to this asset that he has.
Oh, this team could give you a stroke. Yeah, I think I really start to wonder about the general manager of the Cavaliers.
Kobe Bryant has, I mean, not Kobe, Kobe Altman. I'm sorry,
Kobe Altman. Yeah,
Kobe Bryant, the late great Lakers.
But he keeps making these deals here and there and this and that, it seems, but they never seem to make a difference, and all they do is just keep getting young guys, but all successful teams are a good portion veteran with a small amount of young guys.
You got to have at least one superstar on your team.
At least.
And I don't see how we're ever going to get one.
No.
I mean, I don't know.
We got one because this was his hometown.
Yeah.
And we drafted him.
Yes. And he came back.
And he got us... the championship.
And he got us into the...
got us into finals.
Finals every time he's here.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? That alone is just an amazing accomplishment. The one player could make everybody so good.
Yes.
a la Michael Jordan.
And, yes, absolutely.
And I don't know if we'll ever have that here again. I don't know. But they won a national championship.
They did.
And so I think the fans will give the team 10 years before even sniffing the playoffs again because of that. So
okay.
I'm telling you, I'm
not doubting you. I'm just saying.
I know, okay. Right? I mean,
because you and I aren't big basketball fans, but when they're playing well, we pay a little bit more attention to them. We watch a few games here and there. We don't do that when they're not doing, because we're baseball first and football second.
Yeah.
And basketball is way back there in third, and they have to be doing well, or at least being playing competitive, at the very least, to pay any attention to them. And they're not even competitive.
Oh, they're not competitive.
They're not even some of these games they should have won, that which could have maybe inched them into being eliminated in the first round of the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
They're not going to get there. They're not.
They were still hoping to get.
If Drummond had played, they probably would have made the playoffs.
It could have. And
because he is enough of a difference maker and a leader amongst these young guys. Because who's your most veteran guy?
So why'd they get rid of him? I don't know.
I don't understand.
I don't know.
Because they had to pay him to go away. They had to pay him to go away.
All they had to do is keep him this year. And then he'd been.
Then his contract's over anyway.
Yeah.
Why did you not play him?
And
I don't understand that.
I don't either. It boggles the mind. It really does. And they would have maybe had an outside chance to get in. I guess there's a buy-in. For the tournament of teams between the 7th and 10th in your conference. And they were hoping to get that. And there's no way. There's just no way now. Where they've been losing games left and right,
Against teams that actually have worse records than them.
Yeah,
I earnestly believe that had they played Drummond throughout, we would have had enough games to sneak into the playoffs. Well, because we're not that far off.
No,
but the fact is, they just don't, you know. And yeah, they've got all those injuries now. And Nance is Junior is gone more than he's there. And Love is usually gone more than he's there. And
somebody sneezes and he gets pneumonia and he's out for 6 weeks. I mean, it's just when they got Jared Allen, he became expendable. But I don't know why.
I don't know why either.
I don't know why. I don't have enough basketball acumen to understand the ins and outs, but it doesn't make any sense from our perspective. Outsiders looking in, and the Cavs are just dismal. They're just dismal, dismal, dismal. And I don't know. Speaking of, they're not dismal.
Speaking of dismal?
I can't say.
They finally won a series again.
They won 2 out of 3 against Chicago. They're 500.
Chicago's really having trouble with their bullpen, and they did not think they were going to have this year so far.
Yeah, I mean, we're only 3 games out, and Kansas City, I don't think it is going to be on top forever.
We've said that before, haven't we?
Yeah, that's true. That's true, but I don't see it, though. I mean, maybe they will. I mean, they were predicted to finish... Is it time?
No, it's not.
Oh, my goodness.
I hit it and the pause didn't catch. Okay. Sorry.
I knew the hour's
going. It's getting there. No, it's getting there, though. It's getting there.
It's getting there.
But, we do have a few minutes to talk about the engines.
The Indians. Whatever they're going to be.
Yes, whatever they're going to be in 2 years now. Because
the Poppers.
They can't make. Yeah.
Well, I wonder if that's a marketing ploy, you know. That means you still have another year to buy Indians paraphernalia.
But see, when there's no longer the Indians, then you can still buy them because then they're retro. Yeah. And you can charge more for retro than you do for current stuff.
Well, they need the money, apparently. Well, there's been some Famil Reyes is... And Jose Ramirez. I mean, some of these guys are starting to pick up the bats. The problem with the Indians right now is that they only have 3 legitimate starters. And that's, of course, Shane Bieber, who is just excellent. He beat the record of how many strikeouts.
I think it was wasn't that held by Randy Johnson?
Yeah, it was. It's amazing.
The fact that you beat a record that Randy Johnson held, yeah. You know what? That's an award in itself.
He sets the record with 18th straight games of 8-plus strikeouts. That's amazing. And we got a gem here. A gem of a pitcher.
That we're wasting.
And we're not only wasting, we're probably going to get rid of him in 3 years because we can't afford him.
Right.
That's what I hate to keep pounding the same drum. It's just the Dolans are nice people. Come on, sell the team. Sell the team and bring some bucks in here.
Yeah.
Jeez. I'm just tired.
You don't have enough money now, but you know what? Sell the team. You'll have lots of money.
You'll have lots of money.
And hopefully you'll sell it to somebody who's got a lot more money than you, who's not willing, who's not afraid to spend a few bucks to make a better team.
You know, we got rid of Bauer. Bauer's a Cy Young winner. I mean, all these guys that we could have retained if we had the money.
Well, but some I think of part them. Of Bauer's problem was definitely he lost it and threw it into the stands.
Yeah, that's true.
Once you lose that Francona respect, which he did at that point,
it wasn't long after
he was gone within a week. He was gone,
but you know,
but it had nothing to do with that. Of course,
we had a history of CC Sabathia. He's gone. I mean,
how many Cy Young winners have we had?
Which
tells you what great scouting we have. We have great scouting
and development of pitchers, but we just get rid of player after player after player because we can't afford them, and
It's always been a Cleveland thing, though.
Yeah.
Even when other teams weren't spending that much money.
No. They spent a lot of money during that 16 season. There was a lot of money on that team spent. He had Edward Encarnacion making $20 million.
And he never earned his keep.
No, but he helped get that team to that level. I mean, in the World Series, he fell flat. But, you know, Frankie Lindor is a perfect example. I don't know what he's doing now.
He's struggling, but he's
not going to struggle for him. But here's a guy that was predicted to be one of the best shortstops ever, and we did a great job. Let's face it, last year was an anomaly, but up until then, he was the face of this franchise, and we get rid of him because we know we can't afford him. And it's just tiring as an Indians fan to keep Fidel Reyes, how many more years are we going to be able to keep him?
Yeah.
I mean, he's probably that guy can hit a home run, man. He's determined to hit the scoreboard.
Yeah,
Jose Ramirez was just, we gave him a substandard contract, and he was happy as pie with it, but he did. I mean, it's just year in, year out, we get rid of players who are starting to make a little bit of money, and it's just, if you can't afford to be in the big leagues, get out. Just get out. We got more billionaires now than we ever had in the history of the United States.
And there was a time you couldn't give a team away. Now it's fashionable to have a team again.
Yes. So, but we're 500. I always figured with a Terry Francona team, if we can.
He's always better in the second half than he is first half.
If we can get through April with double digit wins. Okay, we got a chance. We got a chance. All right.
All right. Now that is the music for sure this time.
Okay. Did you hear about the restaurant on the moon?
The restaurant on the moon.
Yes. I heard the food was good, but it had no atmosphere.
Ah. And you would be right. And you know what?
Yeah,
probably got some great cheese there, too.
Yes,
right?
Lots of cheese.
Pick it up. There it is. We know better than that now, though, don't we? Yes, we do.
Maybe. I don't know. I could have been fake.
Oh, no. That's like an Ohio boy.
Oh, that's right.
He's not going to lie to us. That's going to be it this week. That's exciting about the Browns. Yeah. Let's see what the Indians can pick it up a little bit.
And the Cavs.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Good luck. See you next year.
Yes.
And we'll be back next week with another Sports Sidebar.